Scripture page, we're going to do about half of that today. So just stick it in your Bible and bring it back next week. Or if you lose it, I'll have some more. But I've decided to split this thing up in two because there's just a lot of information that I want us to be able to understand. We've been talking about the glory of God ever since the beginning of the first part of this year. And 2013 is a year of significant change that has come to the church, not just River of Life Church, but churches around the world. This morning I want to share some prophetic words about these changes that are occurring even right now. They'll be occurring this year and from now on. Now, these are prophetic words. They're words from God. And these words came to a prophet, his name is Matt Sarger, around the first part of this year. And I just want you to listen. One of the things that we're going to find out about is that we need to learn how to listen, okay? And we'll get into that in just a minute. But I want you to listen closely to what the Spirit of God is saying to you personally, but also what he's saying corporately to us as River of Life Church. We are a body of Christ that has come together and we stand together, okay? And God has a lot that he wants to work in us, and we just have to be in agreement with God, okay? So if we can remain in agreement with God, we're going to see some great things happen. Now, one thing that I want us to remember, actually just try to put this in your little mind and keep it there. Put it on the refrigerator door of your mind because it's something good to remember. Prophetic words are an invitation from God for us to pursue and follow. God doesn't just put these prophetic words out just for the fun of it, just to let you know he's out there and that he can talk. But there are an invitation for us to follow and pursue these words. And prophetic words, you receive them, you pray over them, you pray them into existence in your life if you feel like they are touching your life. And if you don't necessarily feel like this is a personal word for you, well, pray it for the church, because every one of them, there's 13 of them, and every one of them is going to have an impact on this church. So let's just settle in and just begin to listen and see what God has to say. The very first one that this prophet shared was that stagnant waters will be stirred in a fresh way. Stagnant. You know what stagnant means? It's been sitting there. It has no flow, no movement to it at all. But these waters are going to be stirred up in a fresh way. And he says, I saw the pool of Bethesda, which is a story in the Bible, stirring again and fresh healing stir being released. A fresh healing stir being released. In other words, God wants his people to lay hold of divine healing, anointing, in a fresh way this year. We pray for the sick in this church. We've always prayed for the sick in this church. But there's a fresh new anointing that is falling on the church right now. And in this freshness, we're going to see some awesome things begin to happen. He said, I saw deep-seated, lingering disorders being healed, even down to the chromosome level. Let me repeat that because this is powerful. I saw deep-seated, lingering disorders being healed even down to the chromosome level. I also saw stubborn areas within the soul and the flesh being healed that people have battled with for years. You understand what that is. Some people have areas in their life that they struggle with. They try to overcome it. They pray and they pray and they have people pray for them, and they're just not able to overcome them. Well, God is saying those are going to be overcome. They're going to be delivered and set free from those this year. Now, in John chapter 5, I want us to read this because it relates to what the prophet is saying here. So let's read this passage of Scripture, John chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. Now, the main thing I want to point out in this is that Jesus healed a person on the Sabbath. That was a no-no as far as the religious structure was concerned. You didn't do anything on the Sabbath, but Jesus heals a man, and he healed him at this place called Bethesda. So beginning with verse 2, John chapter 5, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches, and in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease that they had. And now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. This is this long-lasting thing that I was talking about. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed. This is in verse 9. Immediately the man was well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. It was the Sabbath. Now, Jesus never did anything by accident. Everything that Jesus did, he had a purpose in doing it, and it was always a kingdom purpose. And God is calling his people to access his healing and power from the Sabbath. Now, what is the Sabbath? It is a place of rest. A place of rest. Let me tell you, for all of the things that are going on in the world around us today, we are going to have to learn how to function in the Sabbath. That means just coming into the presence of Jesus, just coming into that place of rest and living our lives resting in him. It has a lot to do with faith, yes, but resting in him, knowing assuredly that Jesus can take care of anything for us. And that's the kind of area that we need to begin to minister from. The Sabbath is more than just a day of rest. It's a spiritual position of rest. A spiritual position. And so we're going to have to learn how to live in this area. Now, it's in Christ Jesus that we enter into the Sabbath's rest. And we receive it because of the finished work that Jesus did on the cross at Calvary. And rather than begging God for what he's already done, we just simply need to step into it and receive the finished works of Christ. Now stop and think about this, because this is so important. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, we have already been healed. That is a finished work. And yet it's hard for us to comprehend that, because we try to understand that up here, and it won't compute. But if we will get this down in our spirit and come to that place of resting in that, knowing that Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done for healing. It's finished. And all we have to do is learn how to minister from that place of rest. Does that make sense? Yeah? Amen. And so a new level and substance of faith is coming into the hearts of people, Christian people, to receive these finished works of Christ. God is highlighting the spirit of faith and understanding of the finished work of Christ. In other words, he wants you to see it, he wants you to believe it, he wants you to understand it, and he wants you to walk in it. Amen? Living from the Sabbath position will be crucial in obtaining all that God has for us in this year. Amen? Now, I've been dealing with this area for a good while now. And there are areas of stubbornness, I call them, in healing and deliverance that I've asked God about for years. And, it's really difficult in some situations that we've had to face as a church, where we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, and it seems like the person doesn't ever get well. They don't get healed. And that's in total opposition to the Word of God. And so I've asked God about this many times. And so this Word has brought a fresh insight to me, and I hope it's bringing a fresh insight to you about what healing is about as far as Jesus is concerned and the finished works that He did. I think a lot has to do with the position now where we will fight from. It's not just a faith position, even though we must have faith. We're to live by faith. But we're also to get into this position of rest and just living in that area and knowing that God, there's nothing impossible with God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I want to look into this a little bit more next Sunday, but I just want to get you thinking about it. One of the greatest things that I think that we can do is to ponder the Word of God. You know, there's so many deep truths that are in the Word of God, and we need to spend time just meditating on them. So that's the first one. I'm going to have to get some water. Okay, the second area is a prophetic ear will be given to not only to hear, but to also listen and comprehend. A prophetic ear will be given to not only hear, but to listen and comprehend. Every person that makes up River of Life Church needs to receive this from God, including me. This hearing will also occur from a position of rest in His presence. This hearing will also occur from a position of rest in His presence. Now let me show you an example of it in Scripture. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 3. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." At verse 10, "Now the Lord came and stood and called at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel would answer, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" Now, in a time when there was no widespread revelation, and where the eyes of the high priest Eli were growing dim, the light was still burning in the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was displayed. And as Samuel rested, let's back up a minute. Samuel was the son of Hannah. Remember her? She's the one that cried before the priest on the stairs out there that she wanted a child. She was barren. And he said he got tired of listening to her, just told her, "Okay, you'll have one. Now go about your business, okay?" And she dedicated the baby to the Lord. And this baby is Samuel. And so Samuel, as he's resting before the ark in the presence of God, God begins to speak to him. Now, do you believe God speaks to you? Yeah, He does. most of the time we don't listen, and sometimes we don't hear, okay? There's two different things here. But after several times of hearing but not understanding, the priest Eli says to Samuel, just tell the Lord to say, or say to the Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Your servant is listening. Now, there's a big difference between hearing and listening. Okay? God has given you ears to hear. Right? But it's the listening that gets you in trouble because you don't listen. And so God is refining the prophetic ear and the prophetic movement. He is calling his prophets and his people to come into a place of rest in the presence, in the light of revelation. That's where God wants you to abide. And from that place, the voice of God will speak to you. Not only will his voice be heard, but it will be listened to and comprehended. God is doing a work in your life even right this minute. He's going to begin to enable you to listen and to comprehend what he's speaking to you. Your responsibility is going to be able to hear, and God's going to take care of the rest of it. Amen? Now, a new clarity of hearing and perceiving God's voice is here. And it will not be by self-effort, and it won't be by self-striving. It will be from the resting place in his presence. Amen? Now, of course, Scripture says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And that's what this is all about. You know, we're gonna have to lay down this curse of self-effort. We don't need to do anything except what God speaks to us to do and to listen to what he's telling us. Amen. Now, once again, you know, this is another area that I've been questioning God in for years. And as I preach messages, you know, I don't know, sometimes you may not think they're from God, but I don't get up here and say anything that I don't believe has come from God. And I'm really serious about that, and I've been serious about that ever since the first day I stepped into a pulpit. I know the messages are true, but I don't see the fruit of people responding to what they're hearing. I see some fruit, yes, but not the fruit that we should be seeing from people listening and doing what God says. People are hearing the word of God, but they're not listening or comprehending what is being said. And this has been an area of frustration for me, really. And it's a frustration for any pastor or any evangelist or whatever. And it's the same example of Eli and Samuel. It's the same thing. People are hearing, but they're not listening to what God is saying. So let me urge you to begin to move into this area of rest that is found in the presence of God. And then ask God, begin to ask God for clarity in hearing and clarity in comprehending what God is saying to you. The word comes forth to work a work of change in your life. I can get up here and preach a message, and let me tell you, every message that I preach is going to speak to every one of you individually in an area in your life. And I believe that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't even be up here. But God has a word for you. Every time you come into this place, God has a word for you. And you need to begin to learn how to listen and ask God to enable you to begin to listen and listen from this place of rest. I think sometimes we're afraid to listen because we're afraid God's going to speak something to us that we're not ready to receive. Let me tell you, if God thinks you're ready, then you're ready. All right, so you need to get beyond that blockage, whatever it is that causes you to run from God or hide from God. You need to just be honest and just begin to receive. And again, it's all by the Spirit of God. Okay? All right, number three. A new language will be given by God to properly and clearly communicate truths that God is highlighting and speaking. A new language will be given by God to properly and clearly communicate truths that God is highlighting and speaking. I tell you what, I see everybody working hard trying to write these things down. Why don't you listen? I'll put them all down on paper, and I'll get you copies of them. Okay? Because this is a hindrance, I believe. All right. A new language will be given by God to properly and clearly communicate truths that God is highlighting and speaking. For example, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the word soaking, but this was not used in churches until the outpouring of the Spirit of God back in the 1990s. And this term helped explain the concept of being filled with God's Spirit, not just in the filling, but in receiving the presence of God. People were taking time during ministry, you know, if they were on the floor or if they were in a chair or standing or whatever. They didn't get in any rush about leaving the ministry area. They would stay there and they would soak in the presence of God. And let me tell you, we as a church need to move back to that, okay? Because you would be surprised at how much that will help you. And it just works a work in your life. It's unbelievable at times what God can do. But the main thing is that in the soaking, that is our giving ourselves over to the Lord to do what the Lord wants to do. Amen? I mean, if we need healing while we run up here and get prayed for healing, then we head back to the chair. Well, why don't you hang around a little while and see what God wants to do? Amen? Might be something beyond your healing that God wants to work in your life. But anyway, this new language will be given by the Spirit to more deeply and clearly understand the truths of the spiritual realities that God is bringing forth. Amen? Don't know exactly what words will be used, but God will release those words when it's appropriate. Okay? Now, the fourth thing. God is giving blueprints for the new wineskin that He's forming. He's giving blueprints for the new wineskin that He's forming. Does everybody understand what the wineskin is? In relation to where we are today, the wineskin represents the church, okay? And there's a lot about the wineskin. There's a new wineskin and there's an old wineskin. You don't put new wine into old wineskins, because if you do, they'll blow up. And so there's a process of preparing the old wineskin where it can hold new wine. But the better part is the new wine and new wineskins, okay? So let's look at Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Now, the people are going to follow the Ark of the Covenant. And they're going to follow it, and the priests are going to lead them into a place where they've never been before. Okay, they're going to go into the Promised Land. And that's a picture of what God is going to do in the season that we're in right now. So let's look at Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, this is the leadership, The leadership commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, and do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and they went before the people. Now, as we begin to follow the moving of the presence of God, He will lead us by His Spirit into places that we've never been before. I've experienced this. God has put me in some positions and of learning some things that I've never even heard of before. But it's awesome when you get into these places and you see that they're of God, and that God, this is what God wants for you, and that's what God wants for the church. And so the walk of sanctification will be a vital preparation for the wonders that God will do. Now, what does sanctifying mean? To purify, to cleanse, and even it's a part of setting ourselves apart for God, okay, preparing ourselves. And God is saying, be ready to pull up the tent pegs. You know what a tent peg does? It holds the tent in place. Well, God's ready to move. And if we're going to move with God, then we're going to have to be prepared and ready to move with God. When the cloud of His presence moves, we need to move with Him. That's the experience that the Israelites had in the wilderness. Every time the Spirit of God moved, they packed up everything and went with Him. And when He stopped, well, that's where they set up camp. But we're going to have to be willing to fold up old structures and ways of doing things in order to stay current and fresh with God. Now, I've seen this in the past 10, 15 years of these things happening in churches. And what happens after a period of time, there's a portion of people who will begin to resist, and they'll say, we don't believe in that, or we're not going to go that direction, or we're not going to do this, or we're not going to do that. So, usually when you come to a position or a place in that position, there's a choice that has to be made. Are you going to move on with God, or are you going to stay with your old traditions? Are you going to move with God, or are you going to stay caught up in your little religious clique and not let God in? And I'll be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If the Lord picks us up and carries us to Alaska as a church, well, we're going to go. Right? Yeah. Everybody's sitting there thinking, well, what I'm going to do with my job? God's not going to do that, but that's just an example. We need to do what God says. And so God will give His marching orders, and it's going to be up to us to follow them. And there will be new alignments and relational structures that we're going to have to set in place in order to be able to move with God. And we'll do those as these events come about. We're going to make choices in this church, with the leadership as to what we're going to do. Do you understand this now? God is fixing to do some things that we've never seen before. And we need to make up our minds right now. We're going to be a part of it, okay? All right. Number 5. We will not continue to do things the same way. We will not continue to do things the same way. The cloud of God is moving. That's the Spirit of God. And with that, our activities will shift, or they will change. Our focus will change. And some old structures that we've had to adapt to and hold in place are going to change with the new way that God is moving. Now, that sounds frightening, doesn't it? But it's not. I mean, where else would you want to be except in God's presence? And if we're all camped over here and God has already moved over here, you know, we're not going to receive anything from God over here. So it's up to us to decide, well, here we come, God. I like what Moses said when there was such turmoil among the Israelites out in the wilderness, and God was, you know, just about ready to send them on their way without him. And Moses said, well, Lord, you know, if you don't go with us, then we're not going to go, because we don't want to be out of your presence. And that's the way I feel about church. If God's presence is not welcome in this place, neither am I. You know, I just want to be where God is. Okay? So, God doesn't want us to be busy. Busy, busy, busy. You know, so many churches are so full of busy, busy, busyness. But God has even called us to be fruitful. Fruitful. And so we, as a church, we need to learn how to become fruitful in this church instead of just busy, okay? Now, forms, structures, and even activities we have done in the past may shift as God moves in new ways. Again, change is going to happen. So be prepared to let go of some things and to embrace and step into some things you haven't done before. Okay? I just see the little wheels going, you know, what's God going to do? What's God going to do? Just hide and watch. But it'll be vital that you and I go to where the Spirit is breathing. Where the Spirit is breathing. If there is something that God's not breathing on any longer, then we don't need to be a part of it. Okay? So be fruitful by moving and be led by the Spirit of God. Okay? So number 6. God will be highlighting and deepening within his people an understanding of the true identity of the believer. In other words, God is going to just illuminate who you are, who you really are in him. Because so many Christians don't see that. They don't see that they're any different than people out here in the world, and you are. You've got Christ living in you. You've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords inside of you. And you shouldn't be living and acting like the world. You should be standing up and declaring the kingdom of God. Revelation of how to live out of union with God is going to come and begin to reveal to you how this works. And we will understand our oneness with God and live out of our inner spirit man. How do most of us live today? We're still trying to live by the flesh, or we're trying to live struggling with the flesh. Amen? But we are called to live out of our spirit man, out of our inner spirit. That's where the kingdom of God is. And so it's going to be a new experience for many of us to be able to walk in this concept. For those who are one with God are one in spirit with him. How many of you believe that you and God are one? Okay? That's what Scripture says. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 17 and verse 19. But he who is joined to the Lord is what? All right. You and him, just like this. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Boy, I could preach an hour on just that one verse. It's so important that we wake up and realize who we are and who we belong to. Amen? All right, number seven. This is the last one for today. God is going to bring revelation into foundational spiritual truths. He's already doing this. God is going to bring revelation into foundational spiritual truths. Things that we thought we knew and understood, God is going to have us look at them again, and He's going to give us deeper revelation and understanding into things we thought that we've known for years. Isn't that interesting? I don't know if you've experienced any of that yet. I have. I mean, I could be reading in the Word of God, and all of a sudden, God will just show me something, and I'm thinking, man, this is so much more expanded than what I ever saw before. And that's that revelation that God wants to bring. And you can get into the Word of God, and that will begin to happen to you. You'll begin to see things far beyond what you've ever understood before. And look back upon these foundational truths, you're going to look at them with a new light. And revelation will shine upon them, bringing the manifestation of true spiritual realities into your life. And that's what the church needs right now. We need true spiritual realities to manifest in our churches. One of them we talked about at the beginning, that's healing. Healing is real. It is real. And we need to see it manifest in the reality that God intended for it to manifest. And that means getting us out of the way, getting us in a position that we talked about a while ago, getting into that place of rest, and then just declaring healing. Amen? So it looks like to me that's probably what we ought to do this morning. Started off by saying that prophetic words are an invitation from God for us to pursue and follow. We can take these seven prophetic words and just say, oh, those are interesting, and then walk away and do nothing, and guess what we're going to receive from them? Nothing. Or we can look at them and say, wow, God is moving. God does want to do some things in this church. God does want to bring forth change in my life and in the lives of the people of this church. And so with that mentality, we begin to pursue and follow these prophetic words and begin to see things happen. Okay? So, this morning, if you have a sickness or a disease in your body that you've been praying against and you haven't been able to gain victory over it, I want you to come in a minute. And we're going to pray for you. Okay? And also, if you have an area in your life, it's deep-seated in your life. The prophetic word called it deep-seated in the flesh, but you can't get rid of it. Well, we're going to pray over you this morning and get you set free based on what God has said. The next thing that we're going to do, if you are able to hear the voice of God, but you're not understanding, we're going to make sure that what God said about clarity and comprehension is going to be a part of your life from this day forward. We want to pray over you for that. And even if you're having difficulty even hearing God, we're going to ask God to open the ears so they can hear. Amen. That's right. Huh? All right. We all need it. That's right. That's right. We really do. And then if you have trouble with commitment, which is part of all of this, we're going to ask God to give you a fresh commitment to follow the presence of God by the Spirit of God. Now notice I didn't say follow the pastor. I didn't say follow the doctrine of River of Life Church. I said follow the presence of God by the Spirit of God. Because we're going to ask Him to take us to those places that we've never been before. You know, it's one thing to reluctantly begin to follow God and kind of be careful about, you know, where God's leading you and stumble a little bit or fall behind because you're afraid or whatever. But no, that's not the way to follow God. To follow God, you need to just be like Samuel. Here I am, Lord. Just do whatever you want to do with me. Here I am. And that's the attitude God wants to see in each one of our lives. We need to be willing to change old ways of doing things if that's necessary, and then be fruitful in our relationship with God. So we're going to pray over these things. And then finally, I want to pray over you to receive and comply with fresh revelation of your true identity in Christ Jesus. It is so important in this hour that you know who you are, who you really are, not who somebody told you you were, and I'm going to even say not what you've necessarily been taught in church or heard the pastor say. Because week after next, I'm going to show you some things that pastors are preaching in the United States that I wouldn't even step into their church. I'd be afraid the ceiling's going to fall in. I mean, they are preaching things that are contrary to the Word of God, and they're calling them Christian principles. And it's simply because he's found an ignorant people who don't know the Word or the ways of God. And now they are following these teachings. One of them is don't believe in hell. I tell you what, if you don't believe in hell, you might as well just get on out of here because you're going there. And nothing's going to keep you from it because you've got a wrong teaching in your spirit that's going to direct your pathway to hell. Anyway, that's another time and another place. But we're gonna pray that God bring a special enlightenment to you about your spirit man and how it relates to God Himself. So, if you need prayer for any of these, get up and come to the front.